gonna ignore that. Let's start with verse 6. John chapter 4, verse 6. So now Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, therefore, being weary with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. And there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus said unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealing with the Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that says to thee, Give me a drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given you living water. And the woman said unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, his children, and cattle? And Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinks of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinks of the water that I give him shall never thirst. But the water that I give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. This morning, I want to challenge you this morning through this story. And I titled it, I Must Go. I Must Go. Because here when we reflect back on verse 4, it said he must need to go through Samaria, and is speaking concerning Jesus. And so there's some observation from this text that we can see here. You know, this was this was a strange thing that Jesus was going through Samaria. You catch that, didn't you? Try to recover real quick. It's been an awful day. But he had need to go through Samaria. And according to some Lord have mercy. Is there someone out there that wants to preach for me? I'm going to sit down for a bit. All right, Father, usually it takes about 3 days to go through Samaria to Jerusalem. And it's been known that there were many Jews that would avoid Samaria because of the tension and because of the prejudice that they had towards Samaritans. And so they would avoid it, and they would actually spend a couple extra days going around. Not everyone, but there's been some that were known to. And so here we see that Jesus had need to go through Samaria. It doesn't specify exactly what the need was, but as we read the text, we find that many things occurred that point to something of a spiritual nature. You see, because sometimes in our lives, there are sometimes we have these paths that we want to avoid. We tend to avoid certain things because we don't want to deal with a heartache. We don't want to deal with troubles. We don't want to deal with worries. We don't want to deal with pressure that might come about. You know, going through Columbus, many times we'll take the bypass instead of going right through because we don't want to deal with traffic. We don't want to deal with friendly people with a one finger wave. You understand what I'm saying? And so we tend to avoid certain things in life. And but yet here we find that Jesus had a need to go through. He must go through Samaria. And I wonder how many times God has placed certain things in our path because we're supposed to go through that in order for God to reveal something else in our lives. Sometimes we have to deal with certain things in order for us to see exactly what is hidden within our hearts. You know, and so I love this story because here Jesus made a point to go through Samaria because it was a twofold ministry. And the reason why I said this is because not only was he about to encounter the woman, but it was going to affect his disciples. It was a twofold ministry. And so as we look at the text, we find that sometimes in order to follow Christ, we have to go through things that we really don't want to go through. Oh, that's good. You see, because the disciples, I mean, they have some deep-rooted issues as well. It was in the Jews. They hated the Samaritans. And you're going to find that there were some things hidden later on in the text. You're going to see that it seems like there was something hidden within their hearts. But you see, in order to follow Christ, we have to take the path that Christ has set before us. Because he's about to reveal something in our lives. Sometimes we encounter these areas and we say, well, you know what? This is really not for me because, you know, somebody else can do this. Or I really don't want to handle this. Or I really don't want to face this today because I don't have enough strength to. And we forget that someone has placed us there for a particular purpose, for a particular plan. Interesting. If we believe that God guides our life, then whatever we encounter, God already knew about. It's up to us how we're going to respond to it. Is that all right? It's not like God is saying, oh, oops, I'm sorry, I didn't see that one coming for you. You know? But yet God in his mercy, it says, even in the scriptures, it says, you know, even with temptation, all temptation that comes at us, God already knows about that. And he says in the scriptures that with every temptation, there is always a way of escape. So that tells me that God already knew. And God says, hey, there's a door there. You don't have to go. There's a door there. You don't have to go through that. There's a door there. You don't have to fall. There's a door there. You don't have to get hurt. Interesting. But here, Christ had a need. He must go through Samaria. You know, and so as the story goes, we find that his disciples had went to get some lunch or dinner, whatever it may be. It says they went to get some meat. So don't crucify me. And so here, I want you to keep this in mind. Imagine for a second, one of the disciples, and this is just imagining. Imagine one of the disciples says, you know what, I'm not going through Samaria with you. I'll meet you on the other side. You know, I know where you're headed, and I know what to expect there, but you know what, I'm going to meet you on the other side, and it'll be all right. One thing that I've learned, if you stop listening, you stop learning. If you stop listening to the voice of God, you'll stop learning what God is trying to do in your lives. Paul, the apostle, was constantly learning and growing. You know, sometimes we can sit under a preacher and we can hear the same thing over and over and over again. This isn't for me. Not a big deal. Why should I listen to this? You know what? I'll meet you on the other side. And what if within that sermon there was something for you? The reason why I'm saying this is it's a voice of experience. Because at one time I was sitting under a minister, and I was not in the right place, you know. And this guy doesn't have nothing for me. Blah blah blah. And God got a hold of me because the scriptures are God's word. And it's constantly edifying. It's constantly maturing us. And there are things there that will prick our hearts, or things there that we're supposed to receive to give to someone else. It's not always about you. See, God works in you and through you. Twofold. Okay? And so when we receive for ourselves, we receive to give to others as well. And so here, Jesus must go through Samaria. You see, sometimes, I'm stuck in this. Bear with me this morning. Your obedience is someone else's victory. Let that sink in for a second. I must go through Samaria. But Master, we don't do that. We don't do that here. You know, why do you have to go through Samaria? I must go through Samaria. You see, sometimes in our walk of obedience, God will reach out to those that we encounter through us. Our walk of obedience. So our walk of obedience is someone else's victory. Okay? It's just like, and I use the terminology twofold ministry, okay? Because it's just like when you give, you realize that you get blessed in return. And we find that in Malachi, and this is a little extra. You can take that home with you. But in Malachi chapter 3, it talks about that the word of God says to the priest at that time, you know, give your tithes. And then it continues on. He says, and see that I will not pour out a blessing from the windows of heaven that you cannot contain. That's twofold. You give and God moves. And this is why I say sometimes in our obedience, someone gets the victory, but God blesses through us to them. Enough said about that. And so here, as Christ was going in, he encounters this woman at the well. And I love this phrase that this minister once used years ago. He says, the woman at the well encountered the well. She encountered a man called Jesus that says, if you drink from me, because I am a well of everlasting water. And so she encountered a well upon the well at Jacob's well. That's a mouthful in itself. And so this encounter, though, was ordained. Because remember, it says Jesus had need to go through. Now, the Bible doesn't say that he had need to go meet her. Okay, so, but hear me out. The disciples left him to go get lunch. And later on, we're going to find out that he says, I don't need it. What, you already ate? No, I did what I was supposed to do. And so I'm inclined to lean to the fact that Jesus knew that he was about to encounter someone. But the scripture doesn't say that. But it alludes to the fact that Jesus ministered to this woman, and he provided what was necessary for that moment, and he no longer needed lunch. Go figure. But anyways, as he encounters this woman, He met her right there where she was at. And when I say where she was at, many times we're in a place where we're hurting deeply. We're emotionally drained. We're emotionally discouraged. We're in a place where no one knows what's happening in our lives, in our hearts. And this woman was in a place where Christ met her at right where she needed him the most. You see, sometimes God will encounter you right where you least expect it. Now, let me flip this for a second. Sometimes God will place you here so that he can encounter someone right where you're at. Huh? What? You see, because I want you to keep in mind that you're not just here to sit on a pew and listen to me preach, but you're to be active in reaching out to those that are around you. And this is the lesson that Jesus was actually teaching his disciples as well. And we'll find that out later. You see, because when we come into this body, this church, when we come together, we're to reach out to one another. That there are times where we're struggling, spiritually hurting, emotionally hurting, and no one knows. And there's just this pasted smile emoji on, and it's fake. You see, I was listening to this woman. I like some of the points that she brought out during the ceremony last night, graduation ceremony. And if you don't know, my daughter graduated. Yeah, okay. Anyway. Sometimes I have diarrhea in the mouth, you know. Just and anyways, one of the ladies that was speaking there, she was telling her life story. And you could hear that there were a lot of hurts in her life. She had attended this church when she was younger. And she was a woman of color. She was a woman from a broken home. And she was a woman that was brought up in a poor neighborhood environment. And so there's three strikes against her. She goes into this church, and she felt all alone. That should be deep for you right there. She went into this church and she felt alone. What has happened to our churches that we don't reach out to those that are hurting? Oh, well, I didn't see them. I didn't notice them. They stood. They were kind of standoffish. So we are the body. We reach out to those that are hurting, those that are lonely, those that are alone. And so this woman continued to talk, and she was shared, as she shared, she said there was many things that had occurred in her life that really ought to have pushed her away from God. You know, but the end result was that she was back into a church, she was back, and God had blessed her. But the point of the matter that really struck a chord within me was the fact that she was in a church hurting and no one noticed her. An individual was speaking to me one time, and they were sharing about going to a small group, not ours, not anyone here. This was elsewhere. And they felt alone. As they walked in, everyone was in their group. And I'm thinking, as a body of believers, we need to reach out to those. Now we put this Mother's Day label on. This is not a Mother's Day sermon. In order to honor mothers, but I want to say sometimes we need to honor people. We need to honor the ladies, we need to honor men, but especially the ladies today. Is that all right? It doesn't have to be mothers, ladies in general. Here's this woman that was at the well, and she came when no one else would have been there. So there were some issues there. Maybe she had aught with someone. Maybe she just didn't want to hear the bickering and the gossiping of those that are around her that knew her past. Maybe she just didn't want to associate it with anyone around. But yet she got to the well and she met Jesus there. She met Jesus there. And Jesus spoke to her. Did you catch that? And she says, wait, why are you speaking to me? One, I'm a woman. Two, I'm a Samaritan. You know, in our society today, there's a lot of racial tension between the blacks and the whites. Everybody loves the Puerto Ricans, so we're safe here. But between the blacks and the whites, you know, we see this prevalent in our society today. And everywhere we go, automatically, it's a race issue. But in the churches, race issue shouldn't be, because God has created each one of us equally. We were created by God. He says God made a white man. No, God made Adam and Eve. That's it. Boom. That's it. That's what we ought to be doing, is loving those that come in to the church. And so we see this prejudice that has slowly crept into the churches as well. I remember attending a church, and there was a fear of if ever a colored person come in, that they're going to be shunned. That's sad. That's sad. You know? And I said, oh, I hope we never, ever get to that place, because something is wrong in here then. You see? And so Jesus met this woman at the well, and he spoke to her. And she responded. She says, why are you speaking to me? And he says, if you knew who was speaking to you, you would ask me for water. And at times, we tend to be afraid to speak out to people. We tend to be afraid to reach out to those that are hurting, because we don't want to get hurt. I mean, how many have gotten hurt because somebody's just lashed out at them for no reason? You know, and it's like, well, I'll never talk to them again. Hold up. But the love of Jesus causes us to step above and beyond, okay? Because he did it for us. So whatever the response is, we're showing the love of God to them. And so, as Jesus was speaking to this woman, we find that he asked her, well, why don't you go get your husband. He said, go get your husband. She said, I don't have one. I love when the Holy Spirit reveals certain things in our lives. You know, I've been in churches where God has spoken to someone and revealed something, and you can see their eyes go, whoa, hey, how'd you know that? No, I didn't know that. The Holy Spirit, God knew that. He spoke through, you know. But Jesus himself, he knew. And he says, you said the truth. You don't have a husband. You've had five. Hear me out. This woman was seeking for something. Maybe it was love. Maybe it was redemption. Whatever it may be, she was seeking for something. And Christ met her right where she was at. Is it possible that you are seeking for something? And you're here today. And Christ can meet you right where you're at. Maybe there's some deep hurts within you that you haven't dealt with. hurts that no one else knows about. But yet, the Word of God says He does, that He knows. And so, this woman, when she heard all these things from Jesus, you know, it was like a light bulb. Oh, this is some truth. This is for real. This man is for real. This love is for real. And so she went back to tell everyone else about this Jesus. Why? Because He had need to go through Samaria. He had need to meet someone or do something right then and there. But I want to look at something else in this scripture. In John chapter 4, verse 27, we find that as He was speaking, the disciples came up. And upon this came His disciples and marveled that He talked with the woman. Yet no man said, "What seekest thou?" Or, "Why talkest thou to her?" You catch that? His disciples came up and they're like, "What's He talking with this woman? She's a Samaritan. She's not a good woman. Why are you talking?" No, they didn't say anything. But yet they had something hidden within their heart. They were thinking something. Otherwise, why would that be revealed here? You see, Christ was about to challenge their own hearts. Because they seen Him ministering to a woman that you normally don't minister to. I'm going to step out a little bit here. Would you minister to someone that is of a different lifestyle? Would you minister to someone that is a different color? Would you minister to someone that was deformed? Would you minister to someone that was completely different from you? You don't have to agree with them, but you should love them. You see, because Jesus was revealing something. The ministry that we are in is a ministry of one of love to everyone. We're still dealing with sin. Don't get me wrong. Don't twist my words here. Because every time Christ confronted someone, He said, "Okay, now go and continue to sin." No. He loved them, dealt with them, and He says, "Now go and sin no more." We're to reach them. We're not God. We shouldn't be judging them. Hey, blah, 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 blah. No, hold up. But we can love them and let them know what the Word of God says. Are you with me still? Amen. And so here Jesus, as He was speaking to this woman, the disciples seen Him. And they didn't say a word. And when the woman left and went back into the city to tell everyone, verse 31, look down and it says, "In the meanwhile, His disciples prayed Him, saying, 'Master, eat.' And He said unto them, 'I have meat to eat that ye know not of.' Therefore said the disciples one to another, 'Has any man brought Him aught to eat?' And Jesus said unto them, 'My meat is to do the will of Him that sent Me, and to finish His work.'" Verse 35. "Say not ye that there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, look unto the field, for they are white already to harvest." What is He saying? He says, listen, you know, You try to plan for certain things, but there comes a time when this right here is, you can't plan for this. If you look right now, the harvest is ready and it's a spiritual harvest. They are ready to be picked. They are ready to be reached. You can't plan for this one. He continues on. He says in verse 36, he that reaps receives wages and gathers fruit unto life eternal, that both he that sows and he that reaps may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true. One sows, another reaps. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye enter into their labors. One of the things that I hope this doesn't get out too much, but one of the things that I dislike with my licensing as a minister is that I have to report back to the headquarters where my license is at. And they need a record of everything that I do, you know. And one of the things that I always frown on is that how do you know how many people I've reached? Okay, how many people were saved today? How many people were saved a week? Well, what if I'm just the sower and not the reaper? Not the reaper of death, okay? But, what if I'm just a sower? You see, and so I always hated that. But anyways, a little extra. Here as a body of believers, we are together in this. One sows, the other one reaps. You see, the word might be going forth, and you are sitting beside someone. Hey, can I pray with you? You're about to reap. Can I give you a word that God has placed in my heart to you? You're about to reap. You see, don't think that because I'm up here that you have nothing to do. As a body of believers, we're to work together, even in the church building as a whole. We're to minister to one another. Are you with me this morning? You see, and that's where the sowing and reaping can occur. Yes, it occurs elsewhere, but it also should occur here. And many times we come in, listen, and leave, and people leave hurting. People leave broken. I woke up this morning. I almost called you. I woke up this morning. I am broken. It was just that song. But yet, God in his mercy comes in and repairs. But in order for him to repair lives, we also have to be willing to be a vessel to be used by him so that we can minister to those around us. You see, and this is what the disciples were learning. As they are watching this all unfold in front of them. And then all of a sudden he throws this at them. He says, the harvest is white. God, what are you saying to us? The harvest is ripe. There's some that are reaping and some that will sow. What are you saying? He says, basically, we need to be ready because God is calling us to be active. Not just a preacher, not just a singer, not a musician, but to touch each other's lives. That's what it's all about. Touch each other's lives. And at times, he will send us down a path just for the purpose of us reaching that one, speaking something into their life. They might not change that day, but guess what? A seed doesn't change until something else is added. You can plant the seed, but until it's watered, it will not grow. Until it starts to die, it will not grow. Until they realize the truth of the word and it convicts them and changes them, it will not grow. But the point of the matter, you are to plant the seed. There are sowers. You don't have to be elegant in your speaking. Hello? Remember me this morning? Troy, you did an excellent job this morning. And it could be as simple as God loves you. That speaks volume to that individual. All Jesus, huh?
For free,
I like that. You see, sometimes we miss the simplicity of the gospel. We miss the little stuff, and we forget that all we have to do is show the love of God in us, through us, to others. Let God deal with their hearts. Let God change them. Let God affect them, because that's what it's supposed to do. We can't change them. Oh, you're supposed to wear dresses. You're supposed to wear a tie. No! Let God deal with their heart. And God will affect. If they truly got affected by the love of God, guess what? Something's going to happen. And so... A minister of mine has coined this phrase, and I love the phrase, and I'm going to use it today. We are what is called destiny helpers. You are a destiny helper. Every time you grace these doors, every time you go out into the world, you are the one that's going to affect someone else and going to create their destiny or help create their destiny for them. Huh? Someone spoke to me and I got saved. They were my destiny helper. Someone spoke life into me and it changed me. But they had to speak first in order for me to be affected. You are the destiny helpers of this community. You are the destiny helpers of the church of tomorrow. You're the ones that will affect what happens next. Oh, that's deep. Oh, why you got to throw that all on my shoulders? Because that's for real. You see? Because that's exactly what I am. I'm a destiny helper. I have to speak into your life. Say, Lord, what do you want me to say? What is relevant for them? Not what is the most popular thing to say today, but what is relevant for today, for the church today, and how will they receive it, and what will they do? It's not up to you. Okay. Then tell me what I need to say. Destiny helpers, that's who you are. And this is what, if I may, when Jesus was speaking to the disciples, he's saying, listen, you're supposed to go out. The field is ready to be harvest. You're the one that's supposed to speak. Because I'm not going to be there. You are. So you are the one that can affect the next individual. Maybe you will encounter the Samaritan woman, the prostitute on the street. Oh, she just dropped her purse. She's crying. But she's a prostitute. What will people think? What
what will people say? You know, I've had those same thoughts. But if you're living right, they're going to say the right things about you. Unless you get her in your car and drive away, then I'm going to start questioning. I'm just being real. The point of the matter is that many times we stop ourselves, and what if at that moment we're the destiny helper? That we're supposed to speak, so God loves you. Here, let me help you. What is there a need, you know, besides the obvious, is there a need? You know. And can I pray for you? There are people that's their ministry. And I understand that there's different ministries for different people. What I am saying is that there are times when God drops an opportunity right at your path, and you are the destiny helper for that moment, for that time. And sometimes our thinking gets in the way, and we tend to back off real quick, knowing full well that the Holy Spirit is pricking our hearts, knowing full well. And that Samaritan woman is at the well all by herself. Are we going to miss that opportunity of just speaking a word? I'm not just saying, oh, have a nice day. Atheists can say that. Amen? I'm sorry. I heard people say, you know, well, we help people. Well, let them know you're a believer. Do something more, because an atheist can do the same thing you did. You know. But speak the word into their life and let them be affected. And so there are two groups that were affected in this story. The one was a Samaritan woman. When she heard that she was valued in spite of her past. Too many people are hung up on the past, you know? Who has a past? Yeah, that covers everybody. Okay. Too many times people are hung up on their past. Well, guess what? The ones that are hurting are hung up on their past as well. And what are we going to do? Are we going to point it out? Or are we going to love on them? You see? When I first started here, someone on the outside has stated this. Sometimes I get riled up in my spirit, and this is what happens inside, you know, but I just keeping it under control. And they said, well, I wouldn't go there because I know so-and-so, they used to be like this, and so-and-so, and they used to be like that, and so-and-so did this and this. And all I said was, but they've been changed. They're not the same. You see, people get stuck on the past. But we as believers should not. Don't look at their past. Look at the potential of what God can create in them. Amen. The woman at the well, why is he talking to her? But Jesus looked past and said, listen, there's a well of living water that if you would just ask, you can be changed. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. We need to be like that. Listen, I don't care where you've been. I care where you're going. And if you would just listen and hear me out, there's a God in heaven that loves you with an everlasting love. That if you would look at my life, you see how much he's changed me. You can take it for what it's worth. If you don't want to hear it, okay. But I just had to tell you that. God loves you. Simple as that. You see? And we forget. (Clears throat)
we're familiar with the scripture. And we're going to close. We're familiar with the scripture in Jeremiah 29. But it was not in my notes. But if we would just keep that in mind, how God purposed things in our lives, and how he's about to birth something new, not only in you, but in others. You see, and that's what Jesus was saying to his disciples. You know, something's about to be birthed in you if you just realize that the harvest is ready. I'm about to bring something out through you. And you're about to affect the whole world. You're about to turn it upside down. If you would just realize that it's not about the Samaritan woman. It's about the woman at the well. You see. We got to get past those little titles. It's not about them living in downtown Warren. It's not about them walking the streets at night. Yes, it is in a sense, but it's not about that. It's about their lost souls. It's about reaching them. It's about loving them. It's about declaring God's marvelous works in his grace that he has poured out to us. That's what it's all about. And that's what we see in this story. That God's mercy took him into Samaria. And God's grace was revealed to this woman. And she was affected. And she ran back. Listen, she ran back to the city. She came alone to the well, ran back to the city, and came back with a crowd. Something happened that day. She was affected by the words of the master. You see, if we allow the passion of Jesus to bubble up inside us so much, it's going to affect the person we're talking to. It might not affect them then, but it's going to affect them to the point where they're like, ooh, there's something, ooh, either he ate something hot or man, he's really excited. You see, because God does something to you. And we need to let the people know. But the challenge today is, maybe the one that you need to let know is sitting beside you today. And so I'm going to ask you to reach over to your neighbor if they're okay with it. And to take them by the hand. Or just stretch forth your hand to them. And I want you to pray for them. Whisper in their ear. Don't blow in their ear. Whisper in their ear. And ask and see if they have a need today. Maybe they are hurting. Even if they don't say anything, then you pray what God lays upon your heart. And pray for that individual. Make sure there's no one alone. If there's someone alone in your pew, to find someone and reach them.